Today is Low Sunday, which is called that because it seems like a very low feast in comparison with Easter Sunday last week. In this great season after Easter, we contemplate the resurrection of our Lord. One of the things that we are thinking about is the fact that, as St. Thomas said, our Lord's resurrection is a prefigurement of our own resurrection. The resurrection of his body from the dead is the exemplar of our own resurrection to glory if we are fortunate enough to rise in glory at the end. Our bodies will rise glorious from the dead at the end of the world if we are saved, just as his did after 3 days. And the thought of our resurrection in glory in this joyful season of the church gives us a holy hope that we will attain this blessed state. And so today, let us think about the great virtue of hope, which is so important in the Christian life, and which we need to have if we will rise glorious from the dead at the end of the world. What is this virtue of hope that we need to have, which is so important? It's a theological virtue. It's the second of the three theological virtues. And the theological virtues are called theological because they relate to God directly. All the other virtues that we practice as Christians, such as justice, meekness, detachment, and so on, all in some way control our relationship with our neighbor or with ourselves. But the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity involve God directly. By these three virtues, we believe God, that is, we believe what he tells us, we hope in God, and we love God. So what is this virtue of hope that we need so much? St. Thomas defines hope as a supernatural habit implanted in our will by God, by which, through divine help, we firmly expect to obtain eternal goods. Now, why do we say that we firmly expect to attain eternal goods? What is this firmness based on when we hope firmly? When we say that the expectation is firm, we don't mean that we think that we will certainly be saved like the Protestants do. That is not hope at all. That is actually presumption. But a Catholic hopes to obtain salvation, and his hope is firm because of the assistance of God helping him to attain salvation. So a Catholic says, I am confident, and I presume that through divine help, I will obtain salvation. So when we rely on the help of God, namely on his mercy and his fidelity to his promises, we are certain of the ability and of the will of God to give us eternal happiness. Of course, we don't know for certain whether we will actually use the means that God has given us to obtain salvation, and because of that, we don't know if we will be saved in the end or not. But we know for certain that God wants to save us, and that he gives us the means to obtain salvation, and that if we use these means to the end of our lives, we will certainly save our souls. That is why hope is so important. Because if someone doesn't believe that God wants him to be saved and that he will give him the means to that end, then he has no real motive to practice virtue. He would say, why should I take all this effort when I may not even go to heaven anyway? But on the contrary, the virtue of hope increases our energies in the spiritual life by the prospect of receiving a reward that will be much greater than the efforts that we make. It will give us the courage and endurance to ensure our success. And just as there is nothing that is so discouraging as to struggle without any hope of victory, so on the other hand, the certainty of success is a great source of energy. If God is with us, who will be against us? And if Our Lady and the saints pray for us, then we will certainly have the help that we need. And if we are assured of victory, then we will not shrink from the small efforts that are required to gain the possession of God. But what do we hope for? We hope that we will obtain heaven and enjoy the beatific vision. And what will that be like? It will be something more blissful than we can even imagine. We will look on and actually possess God, the infinite good, and we will see his infinite goodness and beauty with a direct vision. The theologian Lessius from the 16th century describes the beatific vision in these words. He says that the saints enter into the joy of their Lord, some more and some less, according to the magnitude of the light of glory, which is communicated to each. Immersed in this abyss, they lose themselves and all created things, for all other goods and joys seem to them as nothing by the side of this infinite ocean of good and of joy. There is the fulfilling of all their desires. There is the possession and enjoyment of all things that are desirable. And he goes on, there nothing will remain to be longed for all will possess firmly and exquisitely enjoy every good thing in God. He says the whole occupation of the saints will be to contemplate the infinite beauty of God, to love his infinite goodness, to enjoy his infinite sweetness, to be filled to overflowing with the torrent of his pleasures, and to exult with an unspeakable delight in his infinite glory. So you see what it is that we desire so much. St. Paul himself, who was taken up into the third heaven, couldn't even give us a description of what it was like because it was so beautiful. All he could say was that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man what things God hath prepared for those that love him. So there is no human experience that can possibly even be used to compare with it. In addition to this, there will be in heaven no suffering or disappointment or fear. This by itself will be enough to compensate us for the effort that we make in this life to practice virtue. Just to know that we will spend eternity in a place where we will never suffer again or be disappointed or unhappy, that alone would make heaven a wonderful place by the standards of this world. Because on earth, when we enjoy something that makes us happy, our joy is always dampened by the knowledge that it will come to an end someday, or that we could lose it, or that our joy could be taken away from us. But in heaven, we will not have these worries, and this will immensely increase our happiness. And this is only the negative side of heaven. The real and essential happiness of heaven will be the enjoyment of God in the beatific vision, as we just saw. This is the object of our hope. This is what we hope to obtain by the avoidance of sin and by the practice of virtue in this life. And we who have the virtue of hope have a firm conviction that God wants us to obtain this unimaginable good, and that he gives us the means to obtain it, and that if we use these means, we will infallibly obtain this eternal beatitude. This is what we were made for. This is what we were put on earth to do. Nothing else matters in this life, whether good or bad. No good on this earth even has the slightest value in comparison with heaven. And any evil of this life, no matter how bad, if it is endured patiently for the love of God, is a very small price to pay for the attainment of heaven. This is how the saints were able to give up every good thing in this world. Many of them gave up their family, their money, the great honors of the world, and in some cases, even their lives. This is why those hermits, particularly in the early church, left the world and went to spend their whole lives in a cave, suffering the intense heat of the summer in Egypt and in the Middle East, where it gets extremely hot in the winter, and then enduring the the bitter cold of the desert winter, eating nothing but weeds and wearing nothing but animal skins, and having no companion except for God and the saints. They did all of this in order to obtain heaven, to make their salvation more secure. And they knew that they were getting a good deal, because what they paid was nothing in comparison with what they would receive from God for a reward. So pray to God to increase in your soul this virtue of hope. Every time you resist a temptation, you make an implicit act of hope, because you are rejecting a present good in exchange for a future supernatural good. Meditate on heaven and on the reward that awaits you for the little bit that you suffer in this life. Avoid the two excesses of presumption and despair. Don't assume that you can get to heaven by your own merit, or that God will take you there for free. You must work your salvation with God's help, and at the same time, don't fall into despair or give up on reaching heaven, because God gives you the means to save your soul, and He will take you to heaven if you use the means that He gives you. Detach yourself from the goods of this world and put all of your desire in heaven. Avoid being elated by worldly success or happiness. And remember that these things are deceitful and can draw us away from our true end, which is God in heaven. Practice mortification and seek for purer and holier joys in a more intimate friendship with our divine Lord. And sometimes we may become discouraged by the crosses that we have to carry in our lives, whether because of our state of life or our bad health, bad luck, things like that. And we may be tempted to think that God is asking too much from us, or more than we can endure. And we may wonder if what we're doing is really worth it, if the reward will be sufficient to compensate us for what we suffer now. In times like this, we should exercise the virtue of hope and realize that God is not asking too much from us. What He is offering us is actually a very good deal. We suffer for a few short years in this life, and then for all eternity, we will be happy with Him in heaven. And if we are tempted to commit mortal sin to seek our final happiness in the perishable things of this world, we should also make an act of hope and realize that if we make use of the help of God to avoid sin, we will certainly one day have a good that will far outweigh anything we could ever hope to obtain on earth through sin. So let us work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but also with an eager anticipation of the joy that awaits us if we remain faithful to the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.